What's the room again?
1240, down at the end.
Ooh, what's that?
Sammy, don't touch that. That's someone's old food.
Here we are. Do you have the key?
You have both of ours.
Oh, right. Not working.
Rub it.
Come on.
Try flipping it over.
Seriously.
Why can't we go inside?
I'm tired.
Give me yours.
You have mine.
All right.
What? Please, if you
Dad,
could just...
Dad, why aren't you opening the door?
Can everyone just shut the...
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, welcome into Late Night News Talk 830 WCCO. I appreciate you guys listening, supporting the station, supporting the show. Probably wondering when the heck the Twins are going to get back to playing baseball. They will do that this coming Saturday for the second half of the Major League Baseball season. We have plenty of things to get into tonight. We have a full show until 1 a.m. And a lot of different topics. But, you know, just kind of on the fly and just watching things playing out here this evening, I've switched up the topic in terms of what I wanted to lead with. And I'm starting out tonight's show talking about the latest, and it's still in progress right now, the January the 6th committee hearings that I've watched for the last hour plus. And I just have to say that watching this makes me feel a certain way. I struggle with where we are as a country. And it's not a new thing. This has been something for years that not only myself, but I think a lot of other people have been struggling with. But it's at a tipping point right now, and I'll tell you why. When we go back to when Donald Trump became president of the United States of America, I knew then that we were headed down a road that many people didn't want to go down, okay? And I've not been a fan, definitely still not a fan. But at that particular time, I understood some of what his supporters had said. And at the time, you know, when I was in Kansas City, I was doing a show with a guy that voted for Donald Trump. And we had, you know, many conversations where he really didn't have great justification for giving Donald Trump his vote, but it's who he voted for. And he has every right to vote for him. Just like everybody in the country has a right to vote for whoever they would like. But the sentiment of, we're tired of these career politicians. I get that. I'm dead serious. When people were saying that, I understood it. Now, one thing I never understood was the small town person that somehow, some way, Donald Trump appealed to them. I just didn't understand it. And we can sit here and we can talk about placing your vote based on political party, your affiliation, and all that, which I don't like getting into because I'm not going to vote Democrat just to vote Democrat or vote Republican just to vote. That's just not how it works in my world. But I understood some of the sentiment from people about, I want something different, okay? I want something different. I totally get that. We want something different. I don't want the career politician guy because people were frustrated. Clearly, people were frustrated, and they wanted something different. Okay? So I'm not knocking that. I look at people that voted for him and then after 4 years said, you know what, this is not how I thought it was going to be. I understand that. Or people that look and say, this is not representative of who I am and where I think we should go. I understand that. But January the 6th and what took place in our nation's capital, the violence, the fact that people died on that day, what that represents, that should bother every American. But it doesn't. And that's why I feel so weird about where we're at in the country. Because after January the 6th, and what we've seen from the committee hearings, and what we've seen on full display tonight, and even before tonight, there are people that will go to their graves being Donald Trump supporters. After all that we've seen, we have seen tonight that he didn't give a damn whether his vice president, Mike Pence, was going to be murdered. And literally, we've seen tonight that the mob, the Trump supporters, were trying to take people out, including Mike Pence. So, you know, when I look at all of this, I just have to be honest with you guys. The people that still, even after that horrific day of January the 6th, 2021, even after that, the people that continue to support him through thick and thin, I just have to be honest, I just don't respect them at all. And it doesn't mean that I won't acknowledge you and your humanity, because I do. But I have to be honest that I just can't look at that person and just have a ton of respect for them. Because to me, what you are encouraging, and just based on your thought process and your support after all that we've seen, is that this country that you claim to love, you just don't love it that much. Or you don't love it at all. I would never, ever let anything like that happen in our country. And pledge loyalty to somebody that incited that moving forward. How do we do that? How do you justify that? How? Because I'm racking my brain and I'm trying to understand it, but I can't defend the indefensible. We're hearing from oath keepers and all kind of people that worked for him. But we literally have people amongst us that are blindly just saying, I'm loyal. That's my guy. It's back the blue until it's not back the blue. And then, you know, there are some people that are trying to justify what took place. And you know who you are. The people that will say, well, man, people were just pissed off. They're just unhappy. Okay. You're unhappy about what? The lie that you were told and then you ran with it? I don't think that there's... Remember, let's go back to this city. And when things were happening here in Minneapolis, I was vocal, I was outraged, and stated about protests and things that were happening that were damaging our city, our state. I didn't like that. And I definitely didn't like this. I guess I'm just trying to wrap my head around how people can still be loyal to that guy after January the 6th. And let's not even get into all the stuff that's been going on here in the last, I don't know how long, with the Secret Service and the deleted. It's a litany of things. I don't see it, man. I just don't see it. And yes, there are people that I've known for a long, long time that will probably continue to support them. But they know that when I look them in the face, it ain't the same. Because I just don't get it. I don't. All right, coming up next, some big news here locally. It's a national story, but locally with ex-officer Thomas Lane. He was sentenced today for violating George Floyd's civil rights. We get to that next year on Late Night. All right, earlier today, ex-officer from the Minneapolis Police Department, Thomas Lane, he found out what his sentence was going to be for violating George Floyd's civil rights. He found out earlier today that he's been sentenced by a federal judge to 2.5 years in prison in the federal civil rights case linked to George Floyd. And when senior U.S. District Judge Paul Magnuson handed down that 30-month sentence, and I heard what the sentence was, and I know that there will be some people that won't like what I have to say, because I'm not here trying to say that it was too light a sentence or that it was too lengthy of a sentence. I thought that this is where it was going to land. I didn't think that Thomas Lane, nor do I think that the other officers, with their sentences coming up, that it's going to be lengthy sentences. I didn't expect that, you know, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful of people that are still upset about the murder of George Floyd, his family, Mr. Floyd's family, supporters. I'm not in any way, shape, or form trying to be disrespectful of that, because we know how serious that was. You guys know where I stand on the situation, how I felt about it. Heck, I cried on air after things, when protests started happening. But I didn't think that this was going to be some 5 or 6. Because I think that in several of the reports that the prosecution, they wanted like a 6-year sentence. I never thought that that was going to happen. Now, there are levels to what took place in terms of each police officer's part and what took place. And we know what Derek Chauvin's part was. Like, he was the aggressor. He was the knee on the neck. He was the worst of the worst. And Officer Tutau, he was kind of like, he was the second guy that was a little bit aggressive in terms of how he positioned himself, how he was interacting with the people that were videoing and telling them to get the knee off his neck and all of that stuff. And I would expect that he's going to get more than 2.5 years. and this is not me trying to defend Thomas Lane, an officer King. I'm not trying to do that. But you should look at the entire situation and evaluate everybody's role. And yes, everybody failed Mr. Floyd, Thomas Lane included. But let me ask Hammer. Hammer, let me ask you this. We've seen the video too many times to count.
Yes.
Of what happened to George Floyd, okay? Him being murdered. In your mind, because I'm just trying to see if I'm matching up with you or you're matching up with me, did you look at each officer and look at their roles differently? Now, I'm not saying that Mr. Lane should not have told Derek Chauvin, get off of him, or they should have tried to pull him off. I'm not saying that, because clearly they should have. That points to the violating of Mr. Floyd's civil rights. But do you, because I did, I didn't view Lane the same way as I did Chauvin. The same way I don't view King the same way I view Tao. Is that how you looked at it too?
Yeah, I think it's a fair assessment on your part, yes.
Because I can't – look, are they all in one boat? Yes.
Yes.
But their roles were different.
Yes.
And so when I saw today that it came out that he got 2.5 years, I'm not saying, well, yeah, that's about right. Because I don't know what he's supposed to – what he should get, right?
Yeah.
Like it's a horrible situation.
There's really no point of reference for this.
Yeah. And so it couldn't be nothing.
No, he had to do something.
Okay. And it couldn't be just a year. A man died horribly. And even the judge mentioned that. He says this is a very serious offense wherein a life was lost. The fact that you did not get up and remove Derek Chauvin from Mr. Floyd when Mr. Floyd became unresponsive is a violation of the law. So I think that the judge, and I don't want to get into specifics of whether he should have got 2.5 years or six, because I, like you said, what do I compare this to? But it just feels like, I'm trying to find the right words. I don't want to say that it feels like he got it right, but I didn't expect a very lengthy sentence.
Neither did I.
You didn't.
I would have thought probably like 3 to 4 and somewhere in that range.
Mm-hmm.
And I got 2.5, which I'm okay with 2.5. But I can see where the family would be upset with that.
What about with King? I think it's going to be something. It's going to be along the same lines.
I think King will probably get a little more.
King? No, I think Tao gets more.
Well, I'm thinking King is more than Lane is what I'm saying. I think Lane gets the minimum because he actually made an effort. Not a strong effort, mind you, but an effort to say, hey, let's get off his neck and everything. Well, the other two didn't really say much at all from what I saw.
Magnuson, it says, who called Lane a person of outstanding character and held up a large stack of 145 letters sent to the judge in support of Lane. He just had to acknowledge, you know, his culpability in causing Floyd's death. So, you know, I guess the thing with all of this is that for Mr. Lane and his family, they get some.
What's the room again?
1240, down at the end.
Ooh, what's that?
Sammy, don't touch that. That's someone's old food.
Here we are. Do you have the key?
You have both of ours.
Oh, right. Not working.
Rub it.
Come on.
Try flipping it over.
Seriously.
Why can't we go inside?
I'm tired.
Give me yours.
You have mine.
All right. What?
Please, if you
Dad,
could just.
Dad, why aren't you opening the door?
Can everyone just shut the.
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Some, I don't want to say closure, but they know what it is now. There's no, I'm sitting here and I'm waiting in the wings and I don't know what's going to happen with my life. Now he knows.
Yes.
And that's the part that they got to get to with the other remaining officers. Derek Chauvin, we've known for a while what's happening with him. But I would think if you're the other two officers, King and Tao, you definitely you want to figure this out. Now whether Tao's going to do the try to plea out and all that stuff, we'll see. Because remember, they had pushed it back. And
yes,
a big part of that was doing in large to trying to figure out all of the plea stuff. But it's not over yet. The story of all of this with the Minneapolis Police Department is still out there.
Yes, the pieces are still being put together.
It is. All right, we're going to move on to the world of sports coming up next, and it has to do with the first place Minnesota Twins, your Twins, in the American League Central. We'll talk to Minneapolis Star Tribune beat writer for the Twins, Megan Ryan. She joins us next after weather on Lake Night. All right, we are efforting Megan Ryan from the Minneapolis Star Tribune right now. Haven't got her yet, but we should. Here in the next minute or two, we'll try her in just a second. It's been a little bit weird in that the Twins, because typically whenever you come out of the All-Star break, Twins back in action on Friday, they'll get an extra day. They will be playing on Saturday. But today was a little bit of a weird deal because I know when I was running some errands and doing a few things, and then I saw early in the day, because there was a doubleheader between Houston and New York, the Yankees. And, you know, coming out of the All-Star break, imagine that. Like, you're doing the double dip on a Thursday to kind of kick it off. It's just kind of a weird situation when you look at how the schedule plays out. And also, a team that's going to have to be trying to make up for lost time is the Cleveland Guardians. They're a team that when you look at things, it's going to be interesting because the Twins in the first half of the season, they have played, like six games more than the Guardians, because the Guardians' final game right before the All-Star break, they had it wiped away because of weather. So it's going to be interesting to see how all of that stuff shakes out. So and we'll still try Megan Ryan. We should get her hopefully at some point. If we get her in the next 5 minutes, then we take her. If we get into the next commercial break and we call her, we'll figure it out here along the way.
I think one thing unique about today, baseball-wise, is historically, usually most teams are still off now for the All-Star break. They only have one feature game and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the lockout this past year and I think trying to get everything in, you had a bunch of games here. And quite frankly, I always thought this day would be a great day for rain delay makeup games. You know, games that are rained early in April or so, you make it up in July here, right before you start the second half of the season.
Well, but doesn't it surprise you a little bit? Or I shouldn't even say surprise, but it's so funny to see the Astros and Yankees have a double dip today.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even realize until you mentioned it, too, because I just forgot about that. But then I realized that, you know, a lot of teams are playing games today. Like, Rangers and Marlins had a game today, too, because we got a bunch of games we have to make up due to the lockout. So.
Yeah. Now, what is your view on... Because some people look at the Guardians not having played the same amount of games as the Twins as a negative for them. I don't really view it as a negative. And I'm not going to say that it's one or the other, because they just got to go out and win anyway, right? Like, only thing that matters is you got to go out and win games, because the games will end up being the games, right? But I actually, if you were to say, well, you got to pick one, is it a negative or a positive? I'd actually say it's a positive. And the reason why I say that is because if you know what's in front of you and how many games you have to win down the stretch based on the other team having those games on you already up front, then to me it's an easier road mentally to kind of figure out.
Yeah, I'm looking at the standings right now. Both the Twins and Guardians, same number of losses of 44 each, and the Twins have four more wins, so there's like four games in hand.
Okay, so four games, okay.
Yeah. So I think the Guardians, I mean,
I just thought it was more than four, but it's four, okay.
Unless my math is wrong, I mean, okay. It looks like four to me, but if I'm the Guardians, I think it's positive because I'm like, you know what, we got a little room to maneuver with. Like, you know, if we stumble here or so and they're off or so, we still have three other games too, so. I mean, I think the Guardians, I mean, I think they this is a huge edge for them.
Yeah. It's interesting, man.
I mean, it's all going to even on the end, so I mean, it's not that big of a deal, I don't think. But
it all comes out in the wash.
Yes.
It all comes out in the wash. What happens with the Guardians and how well they play, that's what's going to – that's the only thing that's going to matter. The Twins can't worry about that. They have to take care of their business because they got games they have to win to.
Exactly, yeah. They have to just – the Twins just do their job, keep on winning, and more importantly, beat division opponents when they face them. That's the main thing right there. Like, you got to take, like, if you play the Guardians in a three-game series, you got to take two out of three.
Yep.
You play the White Sox in a three-game series, take two out of three.
Yeah. All right, 651-461-9226. I will open up the phone lines here. If people want to, I'll wait a second and see if we're going to get Megan Ryan here, but we can wait till the next segment if we want to try her then. But I am, yeah, we'll wait a minute. I know that somebody called in earlier and they wanted to talk about the January the 6th committee hearings. Look, I don't mind if somebody wants to call in and voice their thoughts on watching this, how this has made them feel, whether their minds been changed at all by the committee hearings. Because I thought that we were going to learn some things. But what we're getting out of this is a little bit more than what I thought. And to see some of the testimony from some of the people, to see a lot of this footage, man, and to see some of the text messages, I just I rack my brain trying to think of how anybody out there could still be a supporter after January the 6th. But if you have a thought on it, if you have a feeling, if you have an opinion – if you've been watching it like a lot of other people around the country, because there were certain people that said, well, no one's going to watch. No, they're watching. Like, the numbers show. Yeah. Like, people are watching this.
I found myself in the afternoons or so when I'm home just doing nothing instead of trying to get my nap, and I'm like, you know, I should get a nap in, but I kind of want to see this. I want to see how this plays out. And quite frankly, it's been riveting, I think. Eye-opening.
Yeah, it's been really eye-opening, but at the same time, scary.
Oh, it's right. It's definitely frightening.
It's
it shows how fragile our democracy really is.
It is. And to me, I think that this should be a wake-up call for all of us.
Yes.
It really should. And to me, it shouldn't be about Democratic, Republican, liberal, conservative. It should be like there's a way of life or way of living in this country that we've been accustomed to for so many years.
We're taking for granted.
And I think that right now we are taking it for granted.
I agree. I totally agree. 100%.
I really do think that we are taking it for granted right now in this particular point in time.
I mean, whenever I see somebody speaking at these hearings, I want to ask the question, do you believe in democracy, yes or no? Because that's basically what it comes down to right now. Do you believe in democracy? I mean, there was an election. It was held fairly. No proof anything was stolen. And as far as we know, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, Joe Biden won it fair and square.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that, you know, that Trump could not concede, I think is a lot telling on who he is as a person. And the fact that you're trying to overthrow the government, I think, is just scary and frightening in itself.
That's frightening.
The fact that people go that length to keep the transition power from happening.
There's no doubt, after watching tonight, no question, that there were people walking through the halls of the Capitol that wanted to kill the vice president.
Yes.
That's scary as hell.
Yeah. I always felt that watching the thing happen back on January 6th, like the people that broke in there, it's like, okay, we're in the Capitol. Now what do we do? And they just didn't know what to do because they couldn't find their targets. Thankfully here, but you're right. I mean, if they would have found Pence or any other Democrat there.
Or Nancy Pelosi, whoever.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been a lot worse than what it was.
No question about it. All right, 651-461-9226. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll wrap up the hour next year on Late Night. All right, welcome back to Lake Night News Talk, 830 WCCO. Hammer deserves better. I apologize, Hammer. Because, see, when Hammer's my producer and any producer that I have, you know, they have to screen calls and people will call in and say some unsavory things. And, you know, a caller just called and said that, they saved all this BS and all. But no. But listen to me, though. Let me give a point across real quick. I'm going to let you chime back in.
Floor is yours.
People have to understand. I understand that I have a platform. And I'm going to say things that some people don't like. And you may not like it. And you may say, I don't want to hear it. Now, you can call and rip on the call screener and the producer and be a coward if you want. That's fine. Because we have a lot of cowardly people like Josh Hawley and others. So, yes, you can hide behind the telephone and call and yell at Hammer. Or you can call and you can tell me what's on your mind. 651-461-922. It doesn't bother me. And it's not stopping me from saying what I want to say. That's what you need to understand. This nightly show will say things that they want to say, whether you like it or not. I've been put in this position because a lot of people like what I say. And just because you don't doesn't bother me at all. I'm not losing sleep over any Trump supporter at all. And if you have guts, you can call back. Floor is yours.
Now, here's the thing. If you want to call the show and just say you disagree with Henry or so, that's fine. I'll be happy to put you on the air. We have a debate about this. When you call and start using profanity, when you start to call the show, that tells me you're not intelligent enough to have a conversation with somebody. So, Jerome, if you're listening out there, try to be a little bit better.
Yeah.
About that, okay?
Yeah.
And by the way, you're because of the call screener, so we know you are.
Yeah, I mean, it's
so,
not...
so if you want to swear at me, that tells me that you are not very – you do not do well in the English language. You cannot throw a thought very clearly and coherently.
But to me, that's –
you're not a very smart person, Jerome.
But that's – it's just – but that's the thing about it, though. It's like I don't expect everybody to agree with everything that I say. Heck,
no.
I don't agree with some things that colleagues say. I was listening to my guy, Chad Hartman, who I interned for a million years ago.
Now you talk about a guy being wrong all the time.
And he said he had a take today that I disagree with, that I'll get into a little bit later. Actually, maybe at the top of the hour, okay, if we don't get Megan Ryan, and about everything with First Avenue. But my point is this. I don't have an issue with people disagreeing with me.
Yeah, just be civil and be cordial.
Well, I mean... And look, I'm not going to treat you like I treat people on Twitter at times.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit more savage than that.
Yeah.
You know, FCC rules here. But the bottom line is,
we don't
is
need
that
you swearing.
Don't take it out on Hammer. Don't take it out on Hammer. I'd rather you take it out on me on the air.
Yeah, because I've been doing this for 18 years. I just have no patience for that anymore, as you well have seen.
You ain't got no time for it.
No, exactly. The minute you swear, I'm just hanging up the phone. I'm like, I'm done with you.
And that's the thing.
It tells me you have nothing good to add to the show.
And the funny thing about it is that we live in this world where people will hide behind phone calls, texts. Like, some of the things that people will text,
yeah,
I can't even imagine you would want your name or your number associated with that text. Or that you would call a radio station where everything is screened and you see the number and you see the name. And by the way, you just don't care.
And by the way, when you text, we do have your phone number. And we can usually find out who you are.
I mean, it just doesn't.
So.
It's 2022.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, it's not the 1970s.
Yeah, so Mike Alter, if you're listening, we know who you are.
Oh, man. All right, so has this impacted any of your thoughts about January 6th after seeing these committee here? I'm not talking about just tonight. I'm talking about across the board. It has for me because
I thought it was bad before. I didn't realize how bad it really was, how worse it could have been.
It's
been eye-opening.
It's much worse than what I thought. So we're both on the same page.
Yes.
I'm not going to sit here and lie to the listening audience and be like, I thought that after the hearings I was going to feel good about Donald Trump. I never thought that. I didn't think that some of the stuff that we've been given insight on now and all the stuff that kind of comes out each and every week, I didn't think that it would get to this specific point. And I think that the one thing tonight of all the things that really is chilling is the fact that, quote, patriots, those that love this country, wanted to murder the vice president.
Yes.
I I don't understand that. I don't understand how you wanted to murder you. No. You wanted to murder the vice president of the United States because he was doing his job.
You have to keep in mind these so-called patriots are in a cult, and they're loyal to their leader. They're not loyal to the country. They're loyal to the former president. That's who they want in charge. That's who they're loyal to. And they would do anything they could to keep him in power if they felt that killing Mike Pence would keep them in power. They would have done it.
How do you justify that thought?
I don't justify it at all.
I'm just saying out loud. I'm like, how can any rational person?
Well, keep in mind, if you're in a cult, you're not really rational.
Yes, that's true.
Because you're brainwashed. You're led to believe certain things, and you don't want to believe those things aren't true.
I never would have thought we'd have been here.
I'm surprised we got this far. I really am.
And
I never would figure that Donald Trump would be the figurehead for a cult. But here we are.
You know, years ago, one of the things that always was so intriguing to me, historically, was the Jonestown Massacre.
Yes.
Okay? With Jim Jones. And I've seen, like, the video stuff about it. I've seen different documentaries on it. And every single time, it grabs me, man, that he was able to get those people over there and those people were brainwashed to that degree and so many people died. When I think about Trump supporters right now and many of them just willing to die on that hill with him, I don't get that part. Because to me, when you start looking at what makes you a proud American, I'm trying to figure out how that aligns with the MAGA movement.
I think the thing that bothers me most about supporters is that they don't ask questions. Like, they're stuck in their belief. They feel they've all figured out, and it is what it is. And quite frankly, inside it, I think the more you ask questions, the more you have a better understanding of things, how things operate. I mean, you not like the answer or so, but you better understand how things operate.
Yeah.
I think you all should ask, but you all should be curious.
And another thing, too, real quick, I just want to give a quick heads up. When somebody says to me as a comeback something about Joe Biden, don't act like he's my guy. Like that's not it. You're not dissing me in any way.
Yeah.
That's not a thing with me.
Yeah, was it my first choice? Absolutely not.
Not at all.
No.
Not only was he not my first choice.
And I made it very clear on here, too. I made it clear.
And he wasn't my second, either.
I don't like people older than 70 running the country. When you're 70 years older, you should be retired. You should be enjoying the rest of your life.
So when people say to me, well, look at your guy, Joe Biden, falling off a bike. First off, that ain't my guy.
Yeah.
First off. And then secondly, I voted for him. Because I was not.
I saw the alternative, and yes, I did the same
thing. I was not going to do the, no, I just couldn't.
I saw 4 years of it. I didn't want four more years of it.
I was good on it. So, yeah, this has been rather eye-opening, everything that we've seen here with the January 6th committee hearings, not only tonight, but in previous weeks. And they're saying that they're going to resume in September. Man. Wow. And new stuff coming out all the time. All right, coming up next, one of the big talkers this week is about First Avenue and Dave Chappelle, the cancellation or moving of the show to the Varsity Theater. I have a take on that. We'll do it at the top of the hour next year on Late Night.
Okay, guys, we got to put our trays up for takeoff.
Where's Dad?
Oh, he's in the back. We could only get three seats together.
Daddy has my pillow.
We'll get it later. Can you not put your feet up, please?
Why aren't we going?
We must be in line for takeoff.
Like security?
Well, that was a different line.
I have to go.
We just sat down.
But I have to go.
The seatbelt sign's on.
Why aren't we moving?
Hey, no picking.
We're just 15th in line for takeoff.
Son of a...
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.